John chapter 3, you got it? If you would, please, out of respect to the Scriptures, could we just stand together? John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him, that is Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Father, help us, I ask now, in the next few minutes, as we look to see what You have said in the Bible. Help it to be clear to us. Help us to understand it so that when we leave this building this morning, we can leave in light of what the Bible says. Help me as I speak. Be with my friends as they listen, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. John 3:16 is arguably the most famous verse in all of the New Testament, probably the most known verse in all of the Bible. And in John 3:16, the Bible says, "God loves us, and He gave His Son to us, who died for us, was buried and rose again on the third day, and He gave His Son in order that we might have life." That through Christ and our faith in Christ, we could have eternal life. And then it goes on to say that men are born condemned. We are condemned. He that believeth, the Bible says, is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what does it mean to be condemned? The Bible says that all of us are, before God, condemned. What does it mean to be condemned? Well, the word condemned has several definitions, several meanings. They all kind of point to the same truth. It means to be judged, or to be tried, or to be accountable. It's a little bit like a judicial term, and something handed down by a judge in jury. For example, in James chapter 3, the Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or the captain listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And the tongue is a problem to all of us. Now the Bible says, because of our tongue, many are or will be condemned and face the greater condemnation. By the way, the passage is speaking not only of leaders, but of teachers. In other words, when somebody stands at open door to preach the Bible behind this pulpit or to teach a Sunday school class, he fits into this segment. He is a leader. He is a master in the sense that he is before people. So a person who has a leadership position or a person who teaches others needs to be careful, because his own words condemn him. And how often do our words condemn us? So the word condemn means to be judged. It also means to be punished. So you might say, at the trial, he was condemned to prison. However, the word condemned is most often used with the punishment or the judgment of death. This is interesting. In Matthew, the Bible says, in chapter 20, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, we'll be going up to Jerusalem, and the religious leaders there will accuse me, and I will be condemned to death. So when Christ died on the cross, he did so, humanly speaking, because he had been condemned. Now, the Bible says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, the Bible is not saying here that someday in the future, if you have never trusted Christ, at some time in the future, you will be condemned to death and separation from God in hell and the lake of fire. No, no. The Bible says you are condemned already. In other words, it's part of your existence. When you're born a sinner. And since we're all born sinners, we're born under God's condemnation. You know, Brother Aaron and Jackie have a little boy. He's not yet a year old. Cutest little thing in the world. His name is Jack. Now, I don't know a lot about Jack. I've not been around him much. I was last night a little bit. I haven't been around him a lot. But I know one thing about Jack. He's a sinner. How many of you have little children still at home? Anybody got little? Yes. All right, fine. You got little kids still at home. You know, you don't have to teach kids to do things that are wrong or bad. Mary and I had three children. We didn't have to teach any of them to do things that were wrong. I never had to say to Will when he was a boy, Will, you need to aggravate your sisters. You know, you got two of them. You just need to pick on your sisters. I never had to teach Will to do that. I never had to say to Wendy or Taryn, his two younger sisters, you ought to bug Will. You ought to say something that'll just bug him. They just did it. Well, you know, where did they get that? From their mother, I guess. I don't know. Exactly. No, where did they get it? They got it because they're my children. And they inherited sin, and with it the condemnation that comes along with sin. So it's not that you will be, it's that you are now. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In other words, the Bible is saying we have chosen what we want to do. Yes, we're born in sin. We are born under condemnation. But along with that, we have chosen to sin. For example, if you take the Ten Commandments, we're not to have any other gods before us. We're not to have any graven images. We're not to take God's name in vain. We're to honor our parents. We are not to lie, to steal, to commit adultery, to kill, and we're not to covet. Now, you might say, well, Bill, I've never killed anyone. And I suspect that everybody in this room could say that. You might say, I've never killed anyone. You might say, I've never stolen. I doubt that anyone here would say, I've never lied. But you might say, I've never stolen. You might say, I've never committed adultery. You might say, I've never killed. But Jesus put a stringent standard on those truths from the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, if you hate someone, that's like murder. Jesus said, if in your heart you would commit adultery, if you could and get by with it, then in God's sight you have committed adultery. And the point is that all of us, because light is coming to the world, we love the darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. In other words, somebody says, well, I wouldn't necessarily say that stretching the truth is a sin. That's because you've made your own standard. There is light that's from the Scriptures that tells us, thou shalt not bear false witness. There's light to that truth, but we disregard the light because we want to live our own lives. And so the deal is, light's come into the world, light's shown us the darkness, but we've turned back from the light because our deeds are evil. So it's not that you're going to be condemned, it's that you are. We've all heard preachers say something like this. Look, this may be the last service you'll ever be in. And, of course, that is true. We've heard preachers say this may be the last sermon you'll ever hear. If you don't trust Christ, you could leave today, you could die this afternoon, and this afternoon you'd be in hell. Now, that's all true. But be careful not to be misled by it. You don't have to die today to go to hell. You don't have to die tomorrow to go to hell. You don't have to die in 3 weeks. You're already condemned. What if you live for another 40 years and then die? You could live for another 40 years and then die. And in hell, lift up your eyes being in torments. That could happen. You see, all you need to do today to keep your status as being en route to hell is just not believe on Christ. When you do that, it's all set. See, we have a way of feeling like, well, I may die unexpectedly. Nobody dies any other way. Did you know that? It really is true. Could I die today? Yes. I'm sorry you said it so quickly, but yes, I could die today. All right, if I died today, would you be surprised? Well, probably, but you wouldn't be nearly as surprised as I'd be. I'm not expecting to die today. Even though I know it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, it's easy for me to think that I'll be back for the service tonight. But the point is, I don't have to die today to be condemned. I'm condemned today by my nature. You're condemned sitting in this service. You're all set up for hell. I don't mean to be unkind, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And we're en route to hell because of our sin. Now, the Bible says, he that believeth is not condemned. Now, this is interesting. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned. So you have a person, as are we all, in the state of being born in sin, of living our life in sin, of choosing things that are wrong according to God's word rather than things that are right, and we're condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. All right, but he that believeth is not condemned. Now listen to me. What's the difference between people who are condemned and set on their way to hell and people who are not condemned? What's the difference? For example, if you said to me, Bill, let me ask you a question. If you were to die today, or if you were to die 5 years from today, or 10, or 15, would you go to heaven? This would be my answer. Yes. Okay, you say, now wait a minute. If you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Are you certain? Yes, honestly. Well, you say, you must think you're a pretty good guy to say you're going to heaven. No. Didn't have anything to do with me, per se. See, the difference between the condemned person who's on his way to hell and the person who is not condemned and on his way to heaven is the word believeth. That's the difference. It's not that, well, you stretch the truth, but I have never done that. Or, You have stolen things. But I'm a preacher. I've never stolen anything. That's sometimes the picture we get. Somebody says, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, you must think you're really a good person. No. I was born a sinner. I'm not a good person. What's the difference between a person who's condemned to death, separation from God, hell, and the lake of fire, and a person who's not condemned? And the difference is the word believeth. Now, this is really important, people, so I hope you'll listen to this. What does it mean to believe? If believing is the difference between hell and heaven, what does the word believe mean? Well, this has been a great help to me. The word believe in the New Testament and the word faith in the New Testament are the same word. Did you know that? That's really interesting to me. To believe means to have faith, and to have faith means to believe. I often say faith is kind of the noun of believe. It's kind of the set belief. And believe is the verb form of believe. If you're faithing, if you have faith, you're believing. If you're believing, it means you have faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the Bible says, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11. In verse 6, that same chapter says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, that's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right, so to believe means to have faith. What does it mean to have faith? Well, it means to trust. You remember when Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he went on to say, if you don't come to me like a little child, you're not even going to see heaven. Okay, what are we talking about when we're talking about childlike faith? All right, and hear me carefully. When we mean childlike faith, we mean childlike trust. See, a child trusts his parents for a place to sleep, food to eat, transportation, spending money. If you ran out of orange juice today and you need some, in case cold weather comes through, so you need some orange juice to help your vitamin C, and you've got a 7-year-old boy, would you say to your 7-year-old, hey, we need some orange juice. Would you take Dad's SUV and go down to Publix and get some? No. He can't drive at 7. I hope he doesn't. He can't drive. If he could drive, he doesn't know where Publix is. Oh, he's been there many times, but he didn't drive to get there, so he doesn't know where it is. If he could drive and he did know where Publix was, he wouldn't have the money for the orange juice when he got there. And if he could drive, and he did know where Publix was, and he did have the money to get it, he would spend it on something else. Just like your husband. You know, it's kind of the same idea. Okay, so what does a child of 7 do for orange juice? He trusts his parents. Are you following this? He trusts his parents. What does he do for transportation? He trusts his parents. What does he do for spending money? He trusts his parents. Now, what do I mean when I say he trusts? I mean he relies on them. He relies on Dad, Mom to do for him what he cannot do for himself. Doesn't a 7-year-old need to have some money, some orange juice, some transportation, some protection? Does he need all those things? Yes, but basically he can't provide them. And so he has parents in whom, listen, he trusts. Now that's exactly how you come to God for salvation. You trust the Lord Jesus who died in your place, who paid for your sin, who rose again showing that he had the authority to forgive you of your sins. You trust in him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Sinner, condemned. Believer, not condemned. Oh, Bill, you're a believer. You're not condemned. You must be a great guy. No, no. Just like everybody else. But when you trust in Christ to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, you become a person who's not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so here's the question. Have you ever believed on Christ? Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever come to God and said essentially, God, I know I'm a sinner, just like that Bill Rice guy. I know I don't deserve heaven. And I know I can't get me to heaven. But I believe Jesus Christ died in my place. And I believe he offers to me the gift of eternal life. And I'm going to trust Christ right now to do for me what I cannot do for myself. You know, three things happen when you think on the wonderful truth of the gospel. Number one, you know how to get to heaven through believing in Christ. You can know that you are on your way to heaven because you have believed in Christ. And you can know how to tell someone else how to get to heaven because you've been down that path yourself. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. And so the question is, are you condemned or are you a believer? Now, this is the truth, people. This is the honest truth. You can walk out of this room this morning with the assurance, my sins have been forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I stand in the family of God as uncondemned because of what Jesus Christ did in my stead. John 1:12 says it this way. I love John 1:12. The Bible says, but to as many as received him, that's Christ. That is, you're trusting in Christ. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you believe, you cease to be condemned. Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Let me ask everybody to sit up straight. Would you mind doing that? It'll just help you to think. Brother Lamb, if you'd come up here and help me, I would sure appreciate it. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to twist any arms. We're not going to have any music for a few minutes. I'm not going to point anybody out. I wouldn't call anybody's name. But I would like to ask a couple of questions. And if you'd like to answer, you may do so by simply raising a hand. So let me ask a couple of questions. I wonder if you're here this morning and you'd say, Bill, you know, according to what the Bible says, I'm a condemned person. Condemned to judgment, to separation from God, to the lake of fire. I'm condemned. Because I can't say that I've ever believed on Christ. I can't say that I've ever trusted him to do for me what I cannot do for myself. But I want to do that. I want to trust Christ. I want to believe on Christ this morning. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. I've already said that. I will not point you out. But if you'd like to trust in Christ, I'd like to encourage you to do that right where you're seated. Right now. If you're here and you'd say, I see what Jesus himself said. He that believes is not condemned. And I want to be a believer this morning. I want to trust Christ. To ask him to be my Savior. And you'd say, I don't mind if you know it, Brother Bill, Brother Lamb. I don't mind if you all know it. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated right this second until I see it? And then you can take it down. We'll wait just a moment. Bill, I cannot say I believed on Christ, but I need to. And I want to. And I don't mind your having known that or your knowing it. And you'd slip up a hand just in essence to say that. I would like to ask the Lord Jesus to be my Savior this morning. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated? I'll wait just a moment. Slip it up where you're seated. How many people here could say, you know, I may not be all I'd like to be or all I should be or all I want to be, but I have trusted Christ. I have believed on Christ and my sins are forgiven. I know that. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated real high? Real high. Wonderful. Wonderful. You can take them down. You can take them down. Wonderful. All right. Now, have I missed anyone else? Is there anyone else who would say, all right, I can't say that's settled, but I want to ask the Lord Jesus to be my Savior today, where I am right now. I can't say I've gotten that settled, but I want to settle it right now. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated? Anyone else? Anyone else at all while we wait? Anyone else? Okay, one more question. How many people would say, you know, Bill, I have trusted Christ. I am not condemned. He paid for my sin. He died in my place. But you'd say this, you know, I'm not telling people about that. We heard this morning in Sunday school that Jesus said that we're to go into all the world and proclaim the wonderful truth that Christ died for our sins. And I wonder if you're here and you'd say, Bill, I've been saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But, you know, for some time now, I've not told people about the Lord Jesus. Now, listen, you can witness. We're commanded to do so, and you can. You can give a tract. You can tell people, God saved me and He will you. You don't have to be mean or even, in a sense, controversial. You can let people know that you're God's child. I wonder if you're here and you'd say, you know, as we looked at the truth that if you believe in Christ, you're no longer condemned. God spoke to my heart about telling people about that, getting the gospel out, helping people to know it. And I've not been doing that lately, but with God's help, I want to be the witness He would have me to be. I haven't been doing it lately, but with God's help, I want to be the witness God would have me to be. And I'm asking God's help in that right this moment. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated? Hold them high, would you? Wonderful. 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 All right. Would everybody look right this way? Would you look right this way? All right. Now, here's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to have a word of prayer, and if it's all right, I'll begin the prayer. But if God's spoken to your heart, I'd like for you to pray as well. And you can do that right where you're seated, and you can do it just quietly from your heart. Two things. If you're here and you'd say, you know, I can't say I'm not condemned, but I want to believe on Christ. You can do that. We're going to bow in a moment. And right where you're seated, you can pray and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. You've spoken to my heart this morning, and I'm trusting you to be my Savior. You can pray that right where you're seated. Then if you're one of these maybe seven or so that raised a hand and said, of late I've not been giving the truth, being a witness, but God's spoken to my heart about it, just ask the Lord. Just say, Dear Lord, I need to be telling people that they need not be condemned. They can have everlasting life. Their sins can be forgiven. I need to tell people that. Help me to be the witness you'd have me to be. And you can pray that, all right? And if God spoke to your heart, let me encourage you to do it. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, you know hearts and you know our needs. Now, there are some people here this morning who want to be the witness you would have them to be. And they're going to pray and ask you to help them with that right now. Our heads are bowed. I'll be silent just for a moment while you ask the Lord to make you the witness that you should be. Let me just give you a moment. All right, I hope I've not interrupted anybody. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Bill, I cannot say that I've trusted Christ for my salvation, but I want to, and I do right now. Right now I'm going to say, Dear Lord, I'm trusting you to be my Savior right this moment, right this second. And you can pray a prayer. Just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting Him to save me. You can pray that prayer right now. All right, our heads are still bowed. Please be alert and think. Our heads are still bowed. If you prayed and said, God, make me the witness you would have me to be, would you slip your hand up so I can see that? I'll rejoice with you. All right, there's about 10. I thought, wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. Take your hands down. Wonderful. If you prayed and said, Lord, I'm trusting Jesus Christ right now to be my Savior. If you prayed that prayer where you're seated, would you slip a hand up right now and I'll see it and rejoice with you? I'm not going to embarrass you at all. You know that. Anyone else to raise a hand this morning? Anyone else at all? Okay, you want to look this way? Want to look this way? All right. If God's dealt in your heart and you need further help, then preacher will be here after the service. Brother Jeff will be here after the service. One of the ushers that you saw ushing and taking the offering, they'll be here. And you can just walk up and say, I'll be here, will be here, others will be here. You can just walk up and say, hey, I need to talk with you. We'll know exactly what you mean. Be the joy of any person here at church to help you with any spiritual need. All right, so let me encourage you about that. If you prayed this morning and said, Lord, make me the witness that you'd have me to be, tell somebody about it today, would you? Just tell somebody. Just say, you know, this morning, God spoke to my heart about being a witness, and I ask Him to make me one. It'll be a help to you. All right? Let's all stand together. Would that be okay? Is it okay if we just sing a stanza of a song? Why don't we sing, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Do you know that? I'll start us out, if that's okay. I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. Do you know it? You don't need a hymn. We'll have an introduction and we'll just sing together. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. I can hear my Savior. I can hear. Good. Where He leads me. Where He leads Amen. Remain standing, Pastor.
Well, you've heard the message of the gospel this morning, the truth of what it means to believe on Jesus or to not be believing on Jesus. That's the condition of every person in this room, every person that's watching and listening to us online via the live stream as well. If you can't say with absolute certainty that you have put your trust in Jesus as your personal Savior, you know the truth of that today because it means that you're under condemnation and on a path that leads to nothing but everlasting damnation. And it's out of love that we share this message of truth with you so that you, under God's conviction, can respond and put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you have done that this morning, we would encourage you to reach out to us and let us know. That would be a great blessing to us. If you haven't and you still have questions, as Dr. Bill said, We're here to help you, not because we have all the answers, but because God does. We'd encourage you to reach out to us, and that includes those of you that are watching from home as well. You can contact us. You can contact us through the office, and we will sit down and talk with you and share with you what the Bible has to say about these things, and encourage you not to let it go. For today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. For Christians, you've heard the truth again today too. And the truth and the transformative nature of that truth should be reflective in our lives. First and foremost, we have the great privilege and responsibility of sharing this message of Jesus with a lost and dying world. And we need to be engaged in that work. And I understand it can be scary talking to people sometimes. And sometimes we're not sure, as Brother Will mentioned this morning, of whether or not we should give a tract or share the truth of Jesus. But let me tell you this. God will always bless it. God will always use it. 'Tis truth. 'Tis salvation. 'Tis message. 'Tis story. And it's His power. And all He's looking for is faithfulness on our part, just to extend that light to others. Pray that we'll do that today. Come back tonight. Again, as Brother Will be bringing the message for the evening service. We have finger food fellowship after that. Remember, dude, to check out the sign-up sheet for that. If you can help with food of any kind, you can just note that so we can have an idea of what we're going to have. Men, if you can stick around and come down to the Sunday school building after the service, help us set up some chairs, move some tables, that would be fantastic. Ladies, don't forget the mentor drawing. If you're part of that ministry, be meeting right in the back of the sanctuary here. And everyone else, I'd encourage you to come out to the foyer and fellowship with the Rice family and the Walker family, and check out what they have out there on the table as well. But for now, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth and power of your word this morning. We pray, Father, for those that are in darkness, for the salvation of their souls, that they would put their belief, their trust, their faith in Jesus. For those of us who have, thank you, Lord, for saving us, for doing all that was necessary to redeem us from sin and from death. And we are so eternally grateful for that. Continue to work in our hearts and lives. Make us more like Christ. Make us good ambassadors for Jesus in this world, to share that love, that light, that life with others by sharing the truth of your word. Be with us now as we go forward in this afternoon, and bring us back here together safely, Lord, to continue to hear from you and to be changed by you. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.